You know, Jackie, kalokohan lang naman yung mga trust fall na yan eh. Like, I don't believe that it does anything to help me feel better about my office mates.
Well, yeah, that's warranted, I guess, based on your own experience. But there can be some activities like a trust fall where they would be meaningful and helpful to some teams. We've seen some of that.
Kailangan mo ba ng mas makabuluhang chismisan sa pantry? Listen to more conversations about work, both hot takes and thoughtful takes, with me, Carl Javier, and Jackie Caniza on The Imaginable Workplace. Check it out on Spotify and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Puma Podcast.
I figured early on in my career as an economist that talking to the public is an integral part of economics and should be an integral part of doing economics, because economics really figures prominently in many public policy discussions.
I'm Bella Perez Rubio, Puma Podcast, and you're listening to Teka Teka. In this episode, we pass the mic to one of this year's The Outstanding Young Men awardees, JC Punongbayan.
I'm actually quite odd among economists, because economists really tend to be quite shy and they keep to themselves for the most part, doing research studies, crunching the numbers. But it's quite natural to involve as many people as possible in these economic discussions. And you can't do that very well if you don't make time and devote some effort to try to reach out to people out there. Actually, I knew there was going to be tough competition here. This is one of the most prestigious awards in the Philippines, dating as far back as 1959. So many people have been awarded already, and I knew there was going to be tough competition. So I'm very thankful and frankly surprised that I made it to the top 10.
But what exactly is the Outstanding Young Men or TOYM Award?
The TOYM Award is not just an award for successful people, it's an award that mainly honors people's contribution to Filipino society.
Previous winners have included Miriam Santiago for her law practice in the 80s, Jose Delisay Jr. for his writing in 1993, historian Nambeth Ocampo in 1987, human rights lawyer Ted Te in 2002, and Paul Walter E.J. Obiena for excellence in sports in 2023.
And the ones who nominated me thought that maybe I fit the bill, in the sense that I've been working for the past few years to popularize economics and make it more fun and accessible to Filipinos with Usapang Econ podcast, my book False Nostalgia, and Rappler articles. I've been writing for Rappler since 2013 on various economic issues, among many other things. When you look at the awardees for economics for TOYM, the last one was Carl Kendrick Chua. He's the former NEDA Director General and also my former boss at the World Bank.
That's NEDA, as in the National Economic and Development Authority.
But before that, I think the awards for economics are quite few and far in between. Before Carl Chua, I think the last awardee in economics was, in 1991, it was Shel Habito and Von Montes. And then it's Carl Kendrick Chua already, 2018. And then me. So it's quite an honor to be named as one of the economics honorees for them.
Why do you think that it's so rare for an economist to receive this award, considering the importance that we put on economists in general?
Well, I think what the TOYM is looking for is that the economist awardee should not just be great at his or her job as an economist, writing lots of journal articles, for example, or doing tons of research, but how that research translates to the welfare of Filipinos in general, or how that aims to contribute to that improvement of people's welfare.
I asked JC how he got into economics in the first place and why he decided it needed to be made more accessible to the public.
I've always been inspired by public intellectuals, not just economists, but public intellectuals broadly. Of course, there's the famous Winnie Monsod, who also teaches at the UP School of Economics. And since I was young, I've been exposed to her journalism, to her writings, and all that. So I think she's one of the figures I looked up to and inspired me to do this econ/journalism gig. So there's a few of them, but I figured that there needs to be a rather fresh perspective on economic issues because, these economists who are also public intellectuals, they're quite advanced in age, if I can be honest. So I think there's that room for younger economists to weigh in on various issues. And that's also partly the reason why I co-founded Usapang Econ. I talked to some of my economist friends at the UP School of Economics, and back in 2018, there was a lot of debate when it comes to inflation. Inflation skyrocketed during that year, if you remember. So we figured that maybe it's high time for younger economists to weigh in on that and many other issues.
I also wanted to ask about your book, which we briefly touched on, False Nostalgia. Obviously, there has been good critical reception to the book, but I wonder, have you any idea of the general public's reaction to the book and any reflections on what that has been like?
Yes. Actually, lots of people messaged me on social media saying that they got a copy of the book and that they actually read it and liked it. But I think one of the most gratifying aspects to it is that public school teachers have also messaged me and in fact showed me some pictures of them using the book in their own classes in, for example, Araling Panlipunan, in elementary, and also in high school. So I think that's one of the best things that came out of this book. I think teachers really have a special role to play here in fighting disinformation and teaching history right. So they're really part of the audience that I was imagining when I wrote the book. But of course, many other people, casual readers, history fans, etc., they also appreciated the attack that I used, a bit of a fact check on various economic issues during martial law that really made it very accessible for many people. But I think one of the questions I also get is, when will the Filipino version or translation come out? So I think there's a sense that even more people will appreciate the book if it's in Filipino or other languages here in the Philippines. So we're currently working on that.
More from JC after a quick break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I remember reading that you started research for this book maybe 6-7 years before it was published. So around that time, none of us were really thinking that Marcos Jr. was even, you know, a bet to become the next president. And now he is. So I guess, how did you grapple with that development? And how do you see your role now that you've written, you know, this great documentation of all the lies that were spread about the economy under Marcos Sr. and now Marcos Jr. is in power? How do you make sense of all of that in your mind?
Well, one of the people who inspired me to do research on this would be Professor Emmanuel Dejos of the UP School of Economics. Back in 2015, he already wrote an article for Business World exactly on the same issue. But I thought there was a lot more to unpack, and that got me into this rabbit hole of digging for sources and data relevant to the issue. It's still very interesting. In fact, I've had the chance to teach this topic at the UP School of Economics alongside Professor Dejos. That was back in 2017, if I'm not mistaken. And our students really appreciated it because economic concepts really brought to life when you link it with actual events in Philippine history. It's one thing to read about economic concepts from Western textbooks, but another still, if you're able to actually relate it to what happened to us decades past. So some of our students, they said that taking that course was one of the most transformative subjects they've taken at the school. And since then, the same subject has been taught in the subsequent semesters. But I hope that many students still, not just in UP, but also in other colleges and universities, are able to learn more about our history, especially martial law history.
I'm a journalist. It's my job to follow these issues, but it's hard to find, you know, a simplified explanation from someone who is an expert and spends a lot of time going through this. And that brings me back to something we discussed earlier, which is the mission of trying to get important information and context to younger people, especially, and people who maybe are not so enmeshed with the news and politics and the everyday grind of it. And I see you as one of the people who, you know, do a good job of trying to bridge that gap. But at the same time, you're also in the traditional spaces like writing books and writing articles. How do you think through that? You know, that mission that you just shared of trying to make this information more accessible and palatable to people who actually need to know this information. Do you have plans on how to further bridge that divide moving forward?
Well, you're right. That is quite challenging to reach out to people out there. I think the main challenge is to know your various audiences and how to sell ideas to these various audiences. So at the same time that I write journal articles or books as well as journalistic articles, I'm also actively exploring other ways of reaching out. And maybe one day I can take up the challenge of dancing on TikTok while explaining economic issues. There are many projects in the pipeline. I think the challenge is to become as adaptable as possible. Because if you just write Rappler articles or books, your audience will necessarily be very limited. And of course, the way people consume information is a crucial aspect of this. And it really entails knowing how people consume that information, especially for the younger generation. So academics, I think, need to be on all of these platforms and to train themselves to adapt their message or how to package their messages so that it's tailor-fit across all of these platforms.
And that was today's episode of Teka Teka. Again, I'm Bella Perez Rubio. I hope you liked today's episode. I personally found it encouraging to hear from an academic and columnist who's determined to reach a larger audience, and in a more meaningful way. It was also encouraging to see that these efforts aren't in vain, and are being recognized. That also goes for some of JC's co-awardees, including agriculture entrepreneur Ruel Amparo and John Mark Napao for his work in solar energy. This discussion with JC was so fascinating that we decided to run it in two parts. Watch out for part 2 next week, where JC breaks down the economics of the issues ruling our headlines. Pidoy Blanco edited this episode. Our executive producer is Jill Caro, and our editor-in-chief is Carl Javier. Do you have a friend who you think deserves a TOIM? Or someone who'd want to learn about economics in an accessible way? Why don't you send them a link to this episode and to Usapang Ekon, JC's podcast with us. Thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.